Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight. It is a weekly podcast around the world of business and economics in and around South Africa. And for today, we're talking about how do we actually advance or take advantage of the fourth industrial revolution. It's been a bit of a theme. But for this week, we're looking at connectivity. There was actually a project that was announced last week. I had the privilege of actually attending a launch that was done by Google South Africa, and they actually announced the launch of something that they call Google Station in the Cape Flats, which has to do with providing fast, free, and open Wi-Fi in parts of Cape Town, and that is in partnership with an ISP that's an internet service provider called Think Wi-Fi. And for today, we are actually joined by Think Wi-Fi CEO, that is Janine Ribello, and she's going to be having this discussion around connectivity in South Africa and the part it actually plays in taking South Africa through the fourth industrial revolution and what it actually means. Thank you so much for, you know, joining us. Could you just give us just some insight into, I think I gave a little bit of background, but just more detail around what the project actually entails and what the rationale was for doing it. I think just off air, before we began, you were talking about laying the foundations for the 4IR.
Yeah, so we absolutely see this as broad-based connectivity, free, uncapped, and fully available connectivity. And connectivity is one step, but if we talk about the fourth industrial revolution and an inclusive blanket that would allow all South Africans to participate, then we have to ask the question, how is that going to be provided?
Yeah.
You know, you need to look at all economic sectors and how do you reach all LSMs, all levels of people, all geographies. Otherwise, the fourth industrial revolution is limited to those who can afford it. It's limited
yeah, that's
to business.
True. It's true.
So if we are as a country and as a people going to transform and take advantage of what fourth industrial revolution can bring, access to applications, services, business opportunities, entrepreneurship, there needs to be broad-based connectivity.
Yeah.
There's been talk of broadband being almost a human right,
yes,
a fundamental human
right.
I
believe that 100%, mm-hmm. Yes. Just below like housing and roofing on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, Wi-Fi.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and connectivity, because in this new era, you're not going to be able to transact or operate without connectivity.
Mm.
So that's where we're moving. So the rationale for the project was to be able to provide uncapped Wi-Fi. In fact, take away all the barriers,
yeah,
the cost barriers, even the sign-up barriers. And you've probably, I would imagine, used quite a few Wi-Fi hotspots. And
yeah,
it's generally log on and it's an email address. And within 30 seconds, you've got a spam email in your inbox. So we don't do any of that.
Yeah,
it's just really easy to use, and it's widespread. And obviously, we're having to roll out where it makes sense and carefully. I mean, this is a capex-intensive project.
Yeah,
but the thinking and the fundamentals behind it was to remove all the barriers to adoption.
And now, actually, on the issue of CapEx, something that's really big in the broader telco space, whether you're talking, mobile operators, or whether you're talking fiber to the home and fiber to the business, there's a lot of infrastructure costs that you have to think about. In that rationale, how did you guys think about using fiber as, or using Wi-Fi as that? As your approach, or as your chosen connectivity method? You guys could have used satellite, I guess. I don't know, perhaps cell phone towers. I don't know, but you guys chose to use, I guess, fiber. Why was that?
So we'll use any access medium, multiple access mediums, whatever makes sense in a particular situation, topology, topography, whatever the case might be. And this is something I've said for a very long time, the right technology for the right application.
Okay.
In other words, if fiber is available and it makes sense and economically it's viable, then we'll absolutely use fiber as backhaul for an aggregation point that for our Wi-Fi canopy. In certain instances, that might be a microwave link, and in future, that might be a 5G link. It could also be a satellite link.
Yeah.
It just depends on what the situation calls for. I think the important thing is that we will be, we won't be prescriptive, and we'll be almost agnostic of the backhaul as long as we can get good, reliable, well-managed, and well-priced backhaul. And as we drive demand, because we're looking to connect, we're hoping over the next 5 years, 11 million people.
Wow.
That's our target. And whether it's all of that or some of that, it's inevitably going to drive demand. And that in turn will drive demand on the backhaul in the telco industry.
Now, the 11 million that you're talking, is that an across South Africa target, or are there certain geographies that you guys are looking at? Because for now, you guys have started with 125 hotspots in Cape Town, for example. Are you looking to, you know, get that across the country, or are you looking to build out in certain parts of the country?
We are looking specifically, our primary focus is underserved communities.
Okay.
So high density of population and primarily underserved communities. It doesn't preclude us from going into other areas.
Yeah.
We have no ambitions to cover the whole of South Africa. That is just crazy.
Yeah.
That will never work. But certainly, working with and being cognizant of the Internet for All project, which you're probably familiar with, they've been working with CSIR, and CSIR have already mapped out all of the areas in South Africa that don't have coverage or don't have 3G coverage.
Yeah.
So it'll be a combination of infrastructure, lack of infrastructure, and not having coverage and providing where there's a high density of population coverage there, and economic exclusion. In other words, where there might be cell phone coverage or there might be alternative coverage, but the people just can't afford it. And the people that we're aiming at, generally, they are in a bottom of the pyramid, if you would, economic model where they can't afford to buy big bundles of data.
Yeah.
And therefore, their cost per meg is exceptionally high.
Astronomically, yes.
Yeah, and they can spend up to 15% of their salary.
Yeah, just on data.
On data. So those are the areas that we're typically looking at. But absolutely, we'll look at going into universities. I think there's a job to be done there.
Yeah.
Colleges. We won't go into schools because that's a principle we have. We wouldn't, because it's an ad-funded model and we're serving advertising, we wouldn't look at going into schools. But certainly, taxi ranks, airports if we're called into airports, shopping centers if we're called into shopping centers. But again, because the commercial model is fundamentally different, in other words, it pays for itself on the back of usage, we have to find the right kind of constructs and dynamics in terms of, is it going to generate enough usage and views per ad?
So right now, if I'm just understanding what you're saying, you have this, let's say, 11 million target that's over the next 5 years, and your rationale at the moment, at least in making a commercial case, is that right now there's an ad-funded model where you guys have deployed so far, and on the back of more usage, that will likely attract more advertisers onto the platform, which then helps the platform to pay for itself. Am I understanding you correctly?
You're absolutely correct, and it's a different. I won't say it's unique commercial model, but it's different. And it has a very strong, what I call a triple win component to it. In that the community wins, obviously Think Wi-Fi and Google wins, and the economy overall wins.
Yeah.
Because you probably know there's a link between broadband and GDP. Okay? So it's a unique, I guess, in that the more you use, the better it is. And therefore, we would encourage usage. There's no caps. It's free. And the more people use it, the better it is, the better the model performs.
Now, before we take a break, I just want to perhaps touch on what you're saying to say, how did you guys, I understand the usage part, yeah. But how did you also then come up with the fact that data should be uncapped or unlimited, simply because when you go to other public access, you know, Wi-Fi hotspots, the common trend is to, you know, cap it, like, let's say, I don't know, 250 megs in an hour, or, you know, if you're a rolling user on one of the more popular programs, you get a gig every 2 weeks or something like that. Why uncapped, and is it sustainable?
So it's sustainable because it's inherent in the commercial model.
Mm.
And, you know, as the more and the longer people stay online, the more ads we serve, and the more ads we serve, the more revenue is generated.
Okay.
The thinking, though, is not just commercial. It's in that, again, we go back to removing barriers, yeah, of adoption. It needs to be ease of use. It almost needs to be transparent, if you will, that when somebody needs connectivity, it's there, it's available.
Yeah.
And there's no blockers and barriers to that.
Okay. We are just going to take a quick break and then we'll be back on the other side of this.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Business Day Spotlight. We are in studio with Janine Ribello, who is the CEO of Think Wi-Fi. They're actually in partnership with Google South Africa to provide increased connectivity in South Africa through an interesting project called the Google Station, 125 free Wi-Fi hotspots, unlimited, from what I understand, in Cape Town at the moment. And she's saying that before the break, they're looking at areas that are underserved, areas that don't necessarily have connectivity, or areas where there is connectivity, but the people still find it hard to afford the data. Now, Janine, the other thing I wanted to understand, outside of this particular project, who is Think Wi-Fi? How did you guys actually come about, and what's your background? How did you find yourself here?
So I've been in telecommunications for a very long time in South Africa.
Yeah.
I've spent many years with Vodafone, Vodacom.
Yeah.
I was one of the founder members of Vodacom Business.
Yeah.
And so I've spent a lot of time providing access, actually, in one form or another,
yeah,
to people. Spent a little bit of time recently, you know, sort of moved through the group, went to Vodafone UK, spent some time there, and came back to South Africa and was with Liquid Telecom, actually. I was their CCO for about 2 years. And I think I just, this opportunity came about, and I just thought, well, you know, I think we all get to that time in our careers where you want to do something a little bit different. And I'd spent over 20 years in corporate and probably thought, well, you know, it's been great. I've learned so much, and I'm eternally grateful to my employers for everything I've learned.
Yeah.
But this was just something new and different. And I think as much as this is a commercial operation, it has such a strong social aspect, and it's almost a social entrepreneurship, if you will. And that for me had huge appeal. Here was an opportunity where I actually could make an impact, we could make a difference.
Yeah.
And it just had such massive appeal to be able to start this and it have such a great purpose and potential for impact. It was hard to say no.
So are you one of the founders?
Yes.
Okay. And how has that actual process been? Because I can only imagine that, you know, coming out of the corporate space and sort of entering the entrepreneurial space, it must be completely different. And in that, how are you seeing, I guess, shifts in the industry, digitalization, all of that?
So it was... say, profound learning for me, because no longer do you have a structure or a team, or can you delegate? It's up to you. You've got to make it happen, only you. And you've got to balance that with funds or lack thereof, and, you know, balancing your own time, and you still got a family, and so it's a very different dynamic. So, you know, I guess you can't really call it a downside, but on the negatives, it's so everything's on you and you work extra hard and you can't just delegate. But, you know, the positives is that you can make a decision very quickly.
Yeah.
No longer does it take 6 weeks to get sign off. So it's a lot more it's a lot more agile.
The buck stops with you.
And and you know that when you make a decision, it's absolutely in the best interest of your business. So I'm enjoying the agility and the flexibility.
How long has it been?
Just over a year.
Just over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we had our previous show last week was around how the 4IR is actually impacting certain industries, employment structures, etc. And we had our focus on you know, the banking industry and the like. Have you guys seen any shifts? You said you have a lot of fears in telecoms. Has there been a has that industry, the one that's providing the connectivity for the 4IR, has it been impacted in the same ways?
It has. So I've been asked this question a lot of times. So will, you know, robotics replace my job? Will automation replace my job? And eventually, I guess the answer to that is yes, to some extent. You know, there'll always be need for, you know, manual intervention, but the way of the world and the way that the fourth industrial revolution is moving is that anything that is a repetitive task will be automated. The argument behind that is, well, you know, should we then not transform? Should we keep our manual processes to preserve jobs? And the problem with that is if we do that, we become more and more economically almost obsolete if you compare what's happening in other areas of the world. So our operating costs and our efficiencies just won't sustain that model for very much longer. And what we're finding is in the telco space is a lot of, I think you can speak to almost anybody, price erosion, massive price erosion on a yearly basis on our connectivity products. And if we don't find a way of lowering our operating costs as we've got this price erosion, only a matter of time before those products and those businesses become unprofitable. So we absolutely have to transform. We have to become more efficient. We have to make use of technology, AI, automation, to improve the way that we work, become more efficient, become more intelligent about the way we serve customers and about the way we make decisions, automate our processes. But that doesn't mean that we're going to have a lot of unemployed people. It means that in the fourth industrial revolution, the jobs that exist today and yesterday are no longer valid. People need to change. We need to reskill our people, not retrench them, reskill them with the skills that they're going to need for the fourth industrial revolution. What we're doing with Google is that we actually have a digital skills program that we are rolling out in these areas to train young people in industrial revolution skills and, and for IR sort of type of skills, which would include coding, it would include AI, and at least at a very basic layer, access to the types of technologies and skills and thinking they're going to need to be successful in the new world, in the fourth industrial revolution environment. And ultimately, the skills that will matter in that world will be more about critical thinking, judgment, creativity. But being able to work with the technologies and understand the technologies that support that.
It's a very interesting one, and simply, I guess, more interesting because the technology is affecting everyone, including the people that are providing the connectivity. But I guess on a final note, are you excited about 5G? And is it something that you're looking to incorporate into your offerings? At the start of the show, you mentioned the fact that you guys are open to any mediums that can provide the best connectivity in an area. So at the moment, what's your thinking just around 5G and what it could be, what it could bring to the offerings that you guys have?
So I think 5G will absolutely be an alternative for us in terms of backhaul.
Yeah.
Again, going back to my earlier comment where it makes sense, I think we are still quite early, although it's been around for a while, and they're already talking about 6G, by the way. but we're still quite early on the adoption curve. The cost of technology is still high, and it's going to have to be a very careful consideration as to what is going to be more economically viable, 5G or fiber in a certain instance. So it'll provide great capacity. It's a great technology. If we apply network slicing to that, it becomes usable for a number of MVNOs, et cetera, et cetera. So it's accessible on a broad base to businesses. But it needs to be used in the right instance, depending on the situation.
Okay. It's been an interesting discussion. Thank you so much. That was us in studio with Janine Ribello, who is the Think Wi-Fi CEO. They've rolled out 125 free public access hotspots in Cape Town at the moment. At the moment, the commercial case is being supported by an ad-driven revenue model that's there. And she actually says that with more usage, that will actually drive more service offerings, and the service has potential to actually pay for itself. But more importantly, there is a correlation between connectivity and internet access to economic growth. And in a 0.8% economic growth environment, these are some of the issues that we perhaps need to be dealing with. Now, she's also just talking about the fact that going forward, they are looking to, serve communities that are underserved, places where they can provide that connectivity, and also, providing opportunities to upskill people just around some of the 4-hour skills that are needed today. But most interesting was when she said that we need to sort of be comfortable and aware of the fact that the jobs of today and the jobs of tomorrow are likely to, in one way or the other, be taken over by technology, and that the mission is to make sure that we equip ourselves, or at least reorient ourselves, to actually be more creative and actually take on different skills, because as we shift these jobs, we also shift our skill level at the same time. So how can people, who perhaps are listening to this and saying, oh, I need to get into business with Think Wi-Fi, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they're very welcome to go to our website.
Yes.
So thinkwifi.co.za.
Yes.
We've got contact details on there, and they're very welcome to either phone or email us, and we'll get into contact with them.
Yeah.
And also, just to add that we do work with communities and community representatives quite actively.
Mm.
We engage with community, and we're actually do in certain instances bring people from the community on either in a temporary or permanent capacity to manage those liaisons into the community. So they're welcome to contact us via email and through our website about that.
Okay, so that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. It was episode 51. I remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Life under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're hashtag BusinessBDSpotlight. And then you remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Moore. I've been Muli Ogavaza of The Business Day. I remember that The Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production. So for myself, Muliwa, and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.